When you don't have a clear curriculum for your classroom, it is so overwhelming to try to put that together yourself. Spending hours on Pinterest and Google, pulling worksheets and pulling pieces of curriculum together to make something that works for your classroom. That's why we created the Autism Helper Curriculum and now offer Curriculum Access. Curriculum Access gets you access to all levels and all subjects of the highly differentiated, evidence-based Autism Helper Curriculum. You can have students working on letter identification and working on parts of speech at the same time in our easy-to-use curriculum. We currently have hundreds of teachers using Curriculum Access from all over the world with consistently rave reviews. I want you to join that group of teachers. Now is the time to ask your administrators for Curriculum Access. We have an email template ready to go so you can ask them to set up a demo. Your administrators can jump on a live call with our team members to see everything that's included in the Autism Helper Curriculum Access. Next year, let's reduce the overwhelm. Let's start the year out with a path and a plan and resources to meet all the diverse needs of your students. Let's make next year the year of Curriculum Access. Head over to the show notes to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. Today, I am so excited to share my interview with Andy Bondi and Lori Frost, the co-founders of Pyramid Educational Consultants and the PECS Training Manual. Now, if you have worked in a special education or autism classroom, you have likely used PECS in your class already. I was telling them both that I had my first PECS training 15 or 18 years ago, somewhere within that time frame, and it really changed the way that I approached building communication within the learners in my classroom. And in this interview, I was really excited to talk to Andy and Lori about the future of PECS. Where are they going next? What is the high-tech component? They're really excited to share their newest app, PECS Talk, and what that can look like for learners. I think they were really purposeful and strategic in developing their new app and how it can best be used to build communication and all of those strategies behind it. So let's go ahead and hear from Andy and Lori. Hi, Andy and Lori. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, and thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to this.
I think I did my very first PECS training maybe 15 or 16 years ago. So I'm really looking forward to talking with you both and hearing about the future of PECS and where this amazing program and company is going.
Okay, thanks.
So to give everyone maybe a little bit of background, if you're new to this field, can you kind of share a little bit about what PECS is and where you both came to this idea to develop this structure?
PECS is an alternative augmentative communication system. It's a picture-based system. And it actually was created out of a problem-solving session. I had invited Andy to join one of my speech therapy sessions. This was when we were both working for the Delaware Autism Program. And I was a school-based speech-language pathologist, and I was working with a little boy who was 3 years old, did not talk, had been in this program for a while, and I had been trying everything I thought I knew how to do with what to do with a child who wasn't talking. I had tried speech imitation, couldn't get speech imitation. I backed up to motor imitation. That was very problematic. Saw a lot of challenging behaviors during imitation lessons. So I decided, well, let's try sign language. Well, this was a little boy who didn't have great fine motor skills, so he was not great about making the signs I was trying to teach. So that's when I decided, well, I'm just going to put a bunch of pictures on a piece of paper and put them in front of him. Andy was sitting with me, and he was sitting actually behind the little boy watching what we were doing. And I had something that this little boy really, really wanted. I was just trying to get him to point to one of the pictures on this board. And it was very frustrating. And what the light bulb moment occurred when we said, well, why don't we just cut all the pictures up, right now it seems he's having discrimination problems. We know what he wants. Let's just put that one picture on the table in front of him. And then the biggest light bulb moment was when we decided, well, rather than having him point to a picture, why don't we have him pick it up, put it into my hands? So Andy guided him to do that. He immediately got what he wanted. And that was essentially the beginning of the picture exchange communication system.
The key is understanding that using pictures to communicate is still about, what do I do to the other person? It's not about, what does the picture mean? What does the sound mean? What does the sign mean? It's, what do I do to the other person? And that was the beginning of the steps of PEX.
And we very quickly started trying this with other children. And I think the biggest epiphany for us was teaching kids to point to pictures or touch pictures was teaching them to interact with the pictures. And we wanted them to interact with us.
I love that this is around one kid and one interaction, that all of this stemmed from that. I love that story. And that now this is used all around the world and in basically every classroom that has, you know, kids with significant communication needs. So it's so, like, thinking back to that one child must be such a cool experience, thinking it all stemmed from that.
Yes.
So how has PEX evolved over the years and kind of changed the way, and it's really changed a lot of the class, I just said, the classrooms that we're working in, but how has this protocol evolved in the years since you started it?
Well, we started with very young children with autism, and over the years, our own experience and then people around the world have demonstrated that doesn't have anything to do with autism per se. It's a communication system designed to help kids quickly interact. And then we realized, well, we need other skills. We need commenting about things, using adjectives. You know, I know you want a cookie. Which cookie do you want? Getting kids to be excited about interacting with people. And then learning conversational exchanges, how do we go back and forth and have a little communication dance using pictures. So children have taught us a lot, working around the world with families, teachers, children has also taught us a lot about how to respect cultural variations and individuality. That's what PEX really tries to promote, is getting to know the kids to figure out, what do you want to communicate about?
I think one of the issues that's been really relevant to me as we travel around the world and look at cultural variations is, from the very beginning, we can make sure that the pictures we're teaching actually relate to that child's home life, school life, community life in their culture.
I think that's such a good point. And that's really, for me as a young teacher, I'm thinking back to, I got PEX training my first year teaching, and it was such an instant gratification for me as a teacher, but for kids as well, because what was on their board and what was in their book were things they wanted and were important to them. And everyone's books looked a little different. And it had such an instant click for kids when it makes sense to them.
Yes.
And working with people around the world has led us to watch what a kid's doing at different times of the day in different locations. I think there's, if you will, too much of an emphasis on work at the magic table. You know, I'm going to teach you anything here and it will flow out into the real world. And nothing works like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, okay, so it's 10 o'clock. What are you doing? Let's find communication opportunities. What we're doing at 10 o'clock. It's, you just got home and it's 6 o'clock. What are you doing? And trying to teach not only staff, but families, you know, to pay attention to the immediate environment and how to make that interesting and intriguing to learners, instead of, I have a block and it's red. I want you to touch the red block. I mean, that's not only boring to teach, it's boring to learn.
Yeah. Well, I love how PEX really started as a child focused intervention and has continued to be throughout the years as it evolved, as you've learned from learners and students how to shift and move with them.
Yes.
Yes. We've learned we ought to start using pictures for some of the children to talk about their emotions. How are you feeling? Are you happy or sad? How do we use pictures to convey emotions? Too many people are like, oh, that's an abstract concept, and you can't draw a picture of an emotion. What does the word angry have to do with an emotion? It's no closer to an actual feeling than is a picture. So, you know, those are fascinating lessons to try to teach kids.
To me, what I always loved about PEX as well is that you mentioned the community component is that unlike sign language, you can bring a picture of French fries anywhere and people yes. will know when you walk into McDonald's and you hand it to someone, they want French fries.
One of our consultants in Poland regularly sends us videos and I love watching her young learners going to grocery stores and navigate the grocery store, going to community parks and let not just their teachers and families, but other people in the park know, I want to go on the swing now.
Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. It's like being able to just connect people no matter where you are. And even no matter what the language is, they can yes. communicate.
Yes.
Hey guys, quick interruption. I want to chat about Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a daily supplement that supports hormonal balance and regulation. It supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels. And the goal is really to give you more energy and a better night's sleep, which I think we all would be on board for that. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. All of their products have zero sugar, are gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. If you've been feeling a little off, check out Hormone Harmony. The biggest benefit that everyone says in their testimonials is they feel like themselves again. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Sasha at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Sasha for 15% off today.
So what is next on the horizon for PEX? How are you continuing to evolve to kind of the ever-changing needs of not only children, but adults too, that need this program?
Well, one of the areas is looking at vocabulary because, you know, because we started in the United States, a lot of the initial vocabulary was related to our culture. And as we go around the world, you know, there are things which don't appear, you know, in American family setting ever. And some people think that using PEX means using a set vocabulary. And what we have to continuously do is say, what are you talking about? What are the words in your language? How do you say please and thank you and may I have more? Grammatical structure has dramatically changed. So we're always listening to local families and communities about the vocabulary, the pictures we're going to use.
We're also, we've created an app for iOS and Android devices. And one of the questions people say is, well, can we just skip the low-tech PEX and move on to your app? The app's called PEX Talk. And our reaction to that is, well, it really depends on the age of the learner. And also, we want to make sure that we're maintaining this interaction. And the interaction is someone putting a picture into my hand. So we do recommend kids, even young adults, start with the low-tech PEX. One of the very, very exciting side effects of PEX that we encountered very early on in the development was the number of children who started to talk. And there's some great research out there now that's demonstrating this effect. Kids who get through what we call phase four of PEX, who are very young, the majority of those children learn to talk and won't need to transition to a speech generating device. For some of our older individuals, especially our learners going out into the community or to job sites, there comes a point where we do look at transitioning them to an electronic type system. And the PEX Talk app we created to look just like a PEX book. So transitioning from the low-tech book to the high-tech app on Android or iOS has been really, really seamless. We haven't had to do a lot of direct instruction with learners doing that transition.
Oh, that's really cool too, thinking about it looking really similar because so many other high-tech apps and devices, you know, the setup is completely different. So if you've gone yes. from PEX to that, it's really relearning the whole protocol.
Yes.
I like this kind of balance that you're talking about between the low tech and the high tech, and really all of the successes you've seen over the years with this low tech protocol on developing verbal language, because I've seen that too. And I know that's such a misconception also, you know, with high tech as well. Like, you know, parents are like, I don't want a textbook, I don't want the AAC device, because then they'll never talk. And it's like, oh, no, it's the opposite. So it's always cool to see that. But it's interesting to think about not wanting to jump in with high tech too quickly. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So the issue with high tech is that there's really no substantial evidence that high tech devices will lead to more speech than little old techs. It's not about the technology. The technology was there 40 years ago. The devices cost $10,000, but you know, there were voice output communication aids out back then. And the issue is, you know, what are the teaching strategies that promote speech? It's not enough to expose kids to people talking. It's not enough to expose them to a device that sounds like it's talking. It's the teaching strategies embedded in the communication systems.
And that's just a lot harder to fit in with that high-tech setup.
Yes.
Well, because, you know, with a high-tech system, you know, there are steps learning to navigate the system itself, which are independent from what I said in the beginning, is how do I activate this person? That's the most crucial step in communication, is what do I do to this person in front of me? And when, you know, devices can be fun and kids learn to play on devices. So how do we separate that? Is it a toy or is it a communication system? And that's a tough question for a lot of people to answer.
Yes, I get that question probably once a week too. Like they, you know, they keep Xing out of the app and they go to YouTube and and I get it from the kids' perspective too. It's confusing. Like if someone handed me an iPad, I'm going to YouTube also, you know?
Yes.
And so you do see that, you know, kind of big positive component to at least getting some consistent communication with the low tech, but as you said, developing those, you know, human interactions along the way and all of that important teaching as
yes.
well.
And it was a mom I worked with last fall who pointed out to me her daughter had done a successful transition to an iPad with an app. And what mom said to me was, we keep her textbook current because that battery dies every afternoon.
Yep. Oh, that's something else I talk about a lot too. Like with anything high tech, you know, logistics rule the world. You get one charger, you're supposed to bring it home, but mom forgets to charge it. Teacher forgets to charge it. So what do? Just not talk that day at school? Like, yeah, right.
Yes.
Well, we also know one young woman in Japan, and she has many thousands of pictures on her communication system, and she does not speak. And unfortunately, I think some people would view her as a failure because she didn't speak. And it's like, no, she's a very effective communicator. She has thousands and thousands of pictures of complex sentences. So
using the app.
So I understand that everybody wants kids to learn to speak. Of course, I want that too. But this the idea that they fail if they don't, that's what's unfortunate to me.
So when you were starting the process of setting up PEX Talk, what were some important considerations that you thought about and made sure to include when setting up the high-tech version of PEX?
To me, the biggest challenge was easy transition. So my goal when I started drawing my dream of what the app would look like was to make it look like a PEX book. So when you open the app, there's a bunch of tabbed pages and there's a dedicated sentence starter page. And make-believe Velcro strips on the tabbed pages. And our initial iteration of the app, you could even hear a Velcro sound if that was something that we thought the kids would remember from their PEX book. So the app looks a lot like a PEX book. We replicate the vocabulary in the PEX book on the app, and it's not preloaded with, there's these 20 pictures on this page and these 20 pictures on this page. it's easily customizable. The young lady Andy was talking about in Japan, she has learned how to program her own app. So she's the one who keeps adding more and more pictures to it. It's pretty easily programmed. We do include our PictorePex images in it, but it still has the capacity for taking photos, importing your own pictures. So it's easily customizable. And because it looks just like the PEX book, I have found when I'm transitioning children to it, it's a really, really fast transition. There's not a lot of navigation steps that they have to learn in addition to communicating.
Well, the other appeal is that it has how many languages?
Yes, 14 languages.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. We have learned so much from the diversity as we travel around the world. And what we've also learned is that even a predetermined library of pictures is going to come up short, mm-hmm. given the cultural diversity in the countries where we've been. So one of the biggest, I think, benefits of this app is the ability to take a quick picture and import it, download a picture from Google and import it. I have a mom who actually takes her own drawings and imports them.
So, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And when PEX users have their own way of categorizing, this is where I want the pictures to go, I'm always amazed when people argue with them. Oh, no, you know, this is an animal picture. It goes on the animal page. And, you know, like, she's got hippo on this page. And I don't even know why, but that's where she wants it. Like, why would I argue with her? This is where you want hippo? Great. So when you transition over to the PEX Talk app, boom, hippo's going to go on the page that she wants it to go on.
Well, it's giving a lot of autonomy that, you know, I think maybe other systems might not give.
Yes.
I like the importance on the transition to the device. And, you know, you both spoke about how quickly you can ideally go from, you know, the actual PEX book to PEX Talk. And kind of in this idea of starting, going through all the phases and starting low tech, you don't want to regress, right? Like if you made all this progress and then you switch to the app, you can kind of see the worry of like, well, we don't want to lose everything we have. We don't want to start over. So I think it's great to put that importance on that like quick generalization piece and that it like even looks the same, obviously, is what helps get you there.
Yes. And the kids I've transitioned have not needed very much instruction at all.
You know, the issue of getting someone's attention, there's an assumption with speech generating devices that the voice will do it. Well, the question is, does the, you know, the child using the device understand that the voice has an impact on someone else? And that's not always clear. Mm-hmm. And again, the power of PEX is you put a picture in somebody else's hand, you've done something. Now, over time, kids with PEX start developing other strategies. They start looking at people, and they start approaching people, tapping people, making sure that they're interacting. So what's that child going to do when they get a device? And again, it's individualized. Are they going to make eye contact before they push buttons? Are they going to make sure they're standing right in front? Or what are they going to do? And again, it takes careful observation of these strategies, not just an insistence on this is the only way to use the device.
I think what's unique about PEX is that the strategies that we use to teach children to use PEX, first of all, they're evidence-based, but second of all, they're easily transferred to when we're teaching a child to use a speech-generating device.
And I think that's often missing, you know, I'm coming from a teacher perspective a little bit here from other AAC high-tech systems is, you know, I was trained on how to add the picture. I was trained on how to switch the amount of images on the screen. But the training didn't typically include like what you're talking about. How do you get someone's attention when you want to greet them? How do you, if you want to ask for more chicken nuggets, how do you make sure that someone's paying attention to you when you ask for that? And I think that that's missing often. Like we're getting into like more of the logistics and less of the instructional strategies. So I love that this kind of core principle within PEX is carried over into the high tech area as well.
Yes.
And having that high tech piece, like as you've talked about some of the adults that have transitioned, I think is so important logistically. Like I'm thinking right now, I have a cousin who is 23 who is nonverbal, and he uses a high tech device on his phone, and he now works in a restaurant. And I mean, it logistically would be extremely challenging for him to have a textbook there, but now he can communicate with a cell phone in his pocket. He looks like all of his coworkers. It's no big deal. So I love this kind of movement towards that as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So within your current trainings now, do you train on the PEX talk as well? Is that part of your training protocol piece?
We teach a workshop on transitioning from PEX to speech generating devices, and we incorporate a lot of different speech generating devices into that training. The app was just released on Android a couple of weeks ago, and there is a pretty detailed setup guide or guide to all the features in it. So that's on our website. It's something you can download. We're hoping to release the iOS version by the end of August. And we are looking at starting to create some very frequent free online Zoom casts or Zoom webinars for people to come in and with their iPads or Android tablets.
I mean, part of what's been interesting about watching the world of SGDs, if you will, is there are several different research groups that have adopted the PEX protocol to teach the use of devices. We didn't approach them and say, you must teach a device this way. They realized that there's a set protocol. We're going to use that protocol. And several different independent universities and training centers have used that strategy.
Oh, that's really cool. I like the idea of, too, the keeping the training might be pretty minimal for this piece. Like, if you know how to run, you know, truly run PEX, that you might not need a lot of training to transition to PEX talk, which is great.
Yeah, it's a short conversation with some good videos.
People love the videos. Yes. I actually remember from the PEX training I went to that almost all of the student videos that were shown were not in English. And I thought that was the best part, actually, that you could understand what was happening and not even understand the language.
Yes. Yep.
So what would your advice be to a newer, let's say, special ed teacher or a parent new to this community with a child newly diagnosed on getting started with this? Someone that is not super familiar with PEX, but like, oh my gosh, this sounds like this is what my kid needs. What is the next good step for that brand new teacher or parent new to this world?
Well, if they're wanting to learn about PEX and the pyramid approach to education, I think one of the best places to start is our website, PEX.com. We have tutorial videos. We have a lot of videos on our YouTube channel of teaching strategies, teachers working with individual students or groups of students.
We have downloadable books that are written for parents, not, you know, high-tech language for professionals. So they can get very quick access to that information. But I would also say that we must all anticipate that when somebody is new to what's going on in autism or other language-related issues, that the fear is there. Everyone is afraid that if I use a picture, she won't talk. Mm-hmm. And we have to just like leap at the fear. Don't pretend it's not there. Go right at it. I mean, I've talked to parents and said, I know what you're afraid of. And then we start the conversation. And the main issue is, you know, people have had that fear for 30 or 40 years. So, you know, you're having it now. You're not the first. You won't be the last. But here's what we know when we do these observations of literally hundreds of thousands of learners around the world, that they acquire speech. It's not guaranteed. Quite frankly, if a parent told me, well, you know, I'm working with so-and-so, and they guaranteed that he'll speak, you know, I would say, go run to the hills. Get away from that person. That's a horrible thing to promise. We do it better and better than we used to, but we have to remain realistic and say we're not guaranteeing this. What we can almost guarantee is that communication will take place. And that the research is extremely, extremely clear about. The early phases of PEX, learning how to interact with somebody else, happens over and over again. We also want to get the parents and the staff to talk together, to work together, to interact, to listen to each other. They have to form a team. to be able to work with the child. And that's something that we've encouraged always.
I like that idea of addressing the fear right away and not, you know, kind of sweeping it. Oh, it'll be fine. But like, yeah, let's talk about that. And especially for, you know, SLPs and for teachers to bring that up with parents, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, so many teachers have seen that time and time again of parents being a little bit resistant, but maybe if you address it and can talk about it, it could at least allow everyone to move forward as a team, like you said.
Yes.
Yeah. The other message that I often give is, you know, I have seen miracles, but they always took time and effort. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a child essentially wake up and everything was fine. But, you know, were there miraculous changes? The answer is yes. But we need to, you know, to create the environment around the kids to support them to change and grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And this, you know, continued kind of theme of like it being centered around the child and what they need and what they want. That's what's going to hopefully lead to those longer term results that we want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's exciting to hear about your new app. Congratulations. I'm sure that was a long time coming. I know tech things are very complicated on the back end. So congratulations on that. And I know so many users and educators and parents will be so excited to be able to have that successful transition to the app.
Well, thank you very much, Sasha. Really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you both so much.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.